This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Almost 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in that games media combined, we thought we'd throw our hats into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join the PlayStation conversation, you can every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. for the podcast on iTunes and all the other things. How do you join that conversation? Simply head over to www.thepopcultures.com/questions. Give us your thoughts, questions and suggestions for the show. If the week between shows is a little bit too long, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, and if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show your fellow man your love for the pop culturist, head to popculturist.com/shop. Get yourself some nice, sick merch. And we should also mention as well, as everyone knows, YouTube did a whole bunch of buggery with the numbers and things. So we're doing our very best to close that gap and get to those 1,000 subs before the 20th of February. We are about 160 something off at this point. So if you do love what we do, please share that love and get some more people in to what we can do.
We've never really plugged subs before, have
we? No, because like we've never it's never really been a concern.
No, but like whenever I watch a video and they're like, you know, make sure you subscribe, it's common knowledge now. I don't feel like it needs
to
be said.
Yeah, I feel it's quite...
People know at this point, if I like it, I'll subscribe. You don't need to be prompted, I don't think. But, you know, we've never done it anyway.
Apparently there is a psychology behind it, though. Like, mentioning it, people kind of like, oh, yeah, I could subscribe to it. But, like, allegedly, I think that dumbs down you guys, the audience. I think if you guys know you like it, don't. I don't have to tell you.
But just put up with our plugging until the 20th of Feb.
But this isn't a monetization thing, because we make jack shit from ad revenue anyway. This is more of just the partnership program actually has a lot of features that we use, like scheduling videos. Like, if we can't schedule videos, that's incredibly inconvenient. Like, stupidly inconvenient.
Yeah.
So for us, it's just about breaching that gap so we can continue to schedule videos.
That's all we want.
Like, the monetization, like... If you're
we can do without the 40
if you're only getting 4,000 view hours in 12 months, you're making like $5. So like the monetization thing's not a problem. Like, we're lucky we do get more than that, so we're doing quite all right in the watch stuff. But I just want to schedule videos, man. Like, we're busy people. We don't have the time to be like, and it's 9 o'clock. We can't do that. Anyway, hey Ben.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
End of school holidays is nigh.
Woo!
Not as much as I love having, you know, having special time with the kids and everything. After 6 weeks, you get a little bit stir crazy. Yeah.
Unfortunately, 6 weeks is a long time.
Unfortunately, doing anything requires copious amounts of money.
Yeah.
Which I don't have. We just play board games. But then that's still, like, even closer together if you're playing board games and stuff. But, you know.
Let's go somewhere where you can run away from me for a while.
Yeah. But then you get worried. You're like, where the fuck are they? I haven't seen my kid in, like, 4.5 hours. I should probably start looking.
What are you even playing though? With the kids around, have you even been able to really sit down and play?
I pretty much play whatever Alex is playing for the most part.
Yeah.
So we jump back into Overwatch this week. We just pass the controller between rounds. I had a pretty good week on it this week, actually. A couple like quad kills and with ultimates and shit.
Very nice.
You know, make it feel good. But then you get brought right back down real quick. So
Someone really checks you fast.
I mean, a lot has changed in Overwatch since I was last into it.
It's like 6-8 months ago?
Yeah, roughly that. But to the casual player, you don't really notice anything kind of different. A couple abilities have changed and stuff, but
they've rejiggered some of the...
Yeah, you know, obviously now balancing means more than ever because of the league. So yeah, they're doing a lot of work.
Is
there.
Doomfist still just fucking dumb and he can just punch you?
No,
and
he's
die?
Dumb and broken now.
Oh.
As in, he has the most reported bugs of any class ever.
Wow.
He's got like 49 different like bugs and glitches with him that still haven't been addressed. I don't see him anymore, really.
No one uses him. Because everyone was using Doomfist for a while there.
Yeah, because it was new. Yeah, it's
and you just get wailed across.
Well, you still get one shot if you get punched into a wall.
Oh, fuck that.
But, you know, you learn to play around it and stuff. And then towards the end of the PlayStation sale, I finally jumped into Pyre, the latest game from Supergiant Studios. makers of Bastion and Transistor. Yeah,
it was like religious basketball, I think last I heard it was. Because like religious characters, but the main mechanic is like basketball.
There's no real religion in it, I don't think. It's more...
I mean, religious may be the wrong word, but like there was... Because it's kind of like priestish a little bit.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you know, the story is you're in the downside, which is like where people get exiled when they fuck up. Which is like a barren wasteland of shit. And the only way you can make it back to the Commonwealth, which is society, is winning the rights, which is, you know, 3v3 basketball, essentially. So each team has a pyre with a certain amount of health, and you need to get the ball into the enemy's pyre to trickle it down to zero. You know, that's the premise of it, yeah? But Supergiant are so good at, well, one, writing, two, story, and three, music, yeah?
Mm.
And they've really kind of outdone themselves here with... marrying up the right music to the right... marrying up music and what's happening to really make it feel more emotional weight. You know, you really care about the characters, and it's more... it's probably 80% visual novel and then 20% actually, like, playing the game. So you sit back and... you know, like the adventure games where the text box pop up and whoever's talking has their, like, avatar there, and then the next person will fade in and all that. And they're addressing you, and not as in your character, but they're addressing, like, you on the couch. You're the reader. You're the person who sits back and conducts the rites, because you can read and they can't. Apparently reading in this world is taboo, and that's why you got exiled.
Oh.
Because you can read. So it's cool because they address, like I said, they address you. You know, you need to do this, and then you got the multiple things. You know, do you want to go talk with him, talk with her, develop this story? Everyone levels up, they love it. There's a lot going on, but it's all kind of mushed together, like, really fucking well. Really, really cool. Really, really cool.
Very nice.
Now, it's been the month of the betas, so we're going to get to most of what you've been playing later, but yeah, other than Metal Gear Survive and DBZ,
what I've been playing... shit, what have I been playing? I played Prison Architect on Wednesday for the stream, so I built a prison. No, sorry, system never down.
Oh, right, gotcha.
Yeah, so I was playing Prison Architect. That was kind of fun. It's not quite as easy to do compared to the PC. I play the original PC and I can, like, just build shit and be done. It's a bit harder.
It's like having a mouse cursor with a joystick.
Yeah. It's reasonably accurate, but just not quite there. Like, they've optimized it well.
Mm.
Like, well. And there's a lot of, you know, pre-built, like, you can be like, all right, here's a pre-built kitchen. Here's a pre-built kitchen. You know, like, you can do a lot of pre-built stuff that you couldn't do in the PC from last time I played it. So I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. If I just want to just throw it, like, rather than sit there and go, okay, that's one cell. Like, oh, cool. Just like, here's one pre-made cell multiplied by 7. Done. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, we had a lot of fun. We had some minimum security prisoners. And then Lee Winterschoven was like, let's get some max prisoners. I'm like, sure. They come in, shank the janitor, and then cause the muck. Yeah.
Cool.
Like, contraband was at a 0, and then the max guys rocked up. Everyone suddenly had knives and shit.
Should be a given that any game you play that involves world building, like, you know, Civ and SimCity and all that, just goes to hell.
Yeah, it was fun. And, like, no one ever tried to escape. They're just too busy trying to murder each other, which is kind of fun.
As long as they're within the walls, I mean, that's the whole idea.
Like, that's the goal,
it?
Right? The whole goal is for them to not escape. So as long as they're in there, whatever they're doing to each other is fine. Like, just...
if anything, they're helping you by killing other prisoners, because it's less you got to look at.
Yeah, and then I can bring more prisoners, and then I get paid more when they come in. And if they die, I'm like,
prisons for profit.
Yeah.
Just like the American way.
And I've also been continuing with The Last of Us. Haven't dived into much this week. I'm kind of up to the part, you know, where there's the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you sort of get separated from Ellie for a little bit, and that's the last time I jumped into it.
You don't have much time to tick it off before shit hits the fan.
Yeah, no, like, I'm a little bit bummed about that, actually. I think I might chip away a little bit more tonight at time of recording, because the DBZ and Monster Hunter haven't arrived yet. I know they're coming this week, but we don't know when. So, like, I might sneak some time in. Then, because you're doing Monster Hunter, I'm going to do DBZ, and then we'll switch. And
you also have another game on your
plate.
I have
another game that I can't talk about yet, and that's going to take a big hunk out of probably tomorrow. So expect a video next week sometime for that one.
Depending on what it is. It is on the drop, so if you can guess it, well done.
Oh, yeah, it's in the drop, so if you want to guess it, go ahead. That sounds that's a really good idea.
Yeah. We can't confirm if you get it right, though.
Yeah, not until after embargo, and then you're like, well, you already know because the video's out. But anyway, yes, I've spent a lot of time in these two betas that we'll get to in our main topic.
Cool.
Then we move into the news. Wait.
Yeah.
We move into the news. We tell you about the things that have happened with PlayStation this week in a section we call...
Inform the players.
Thank you, inform the players.
37 episodes in.
I'm like, from the players? No, that's not that. What the fuck?
Got about, I don't know, oomph bit of news this
week. Ah, the old oomph.
The old oomph. Number one, Sony has announced a new set of PlayStation figures called Totaku that look to be set to rival the Amiibo line. They're 10 centimetres each, and the first print of figures will include collector's packaging. In Australia, they're going to be stocked exclusively at EB Games when they first launch, when the first six figures launch on March 20th, and they'll set you back $20 each. So far, there's seven announced, but only one of them is available to pre-order at EB Games at the moment, Parappa the Rapper. We'd expect the rest to be available next week. That article was from Press Start.
Press Start. So Shannon and the team over there. So we've got, so yeah, so there's God of War, there's Bloodborne, there's Crash, Kratos, Bloodborne guy, Parappa the Rapper, and Wipeout, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think Wipeout. And Sackboy.
Wipeout Vehicle and Sackboy, that's right. Yeah. But that Kratos figure looks fucking fantastic.
They're not, so far, they have no functionality other than being a shelf
we're aware
item
of
that we know of. So they're not really going to rival Amiibos, because Amiibos do have a lot of extra functionality with their whatever chip they've got in the bottom of them.
I'm still buying them.
I'm kind of like, okay, do I get in early and just get every single fucking one so I can have the collection? But then half of the ones on the outside I don't give a dick about.
Yeah, like for me, it's Bloodborne, Kratos, and Crash.
And $20 each is pretty steep. Because Amiibos don't run that.
Yeah,
not, not all of them do. The Amiibos go between $12 and $20.
Okay, yeah. Well, the older ones now, when the new ones come at $20. Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure. Could be wrong.
I'm probably wrong, because I don't have that many Amiibos either.
The reason I haven't picked up Amiibos is because I was always concerned they'd be that dangerous collector's item. And I'm like, that's a dangerous collector's item.
I got
right
most
there.
Of the Zelda Amiibos. They're the only ones I've kind of gone out of my way to get. I don't know, like 10 centimeters is obviously pretty small. I don't know what kind of... Like, from the picture, the Kratos looks pretty detailed, but, you know, obviously Crash and Sackboy...
Pretty simple.
Their dimensions are a lot bigger for the 10-centimeter size, so they're going to look really nice. So I'll have to wait and see. I don't know.
But
to get the first six will be $120, and that's a lot for...
Well, all I want was for the set. So what if we just go Harvey's and then live on the set?
But I don't even know if I want to buy them at all.
Yeah, and then when this channel just eventually collapses, we're like, well, here's your ones, here's my ones.
We don't make the 1,000 subs by 20th of Feb, we'll just shut it down.
We can't schedule videos anymore. Just...
It's the ultimatum. We either get it or we're out of the game.
But yeah, because right now I'm hunting the old NECA action figures of Kratos. So kind of like Uncharted, like Nathan Drake there. So they're similar to that, but it's Kratos. They've got the old God of War 3 ones, and they're just about to release the new God of War. It looks so good.
Must be a better quality than this piece of shit.
Well, that one we bought from the pop culture warehouse broken cell, and its arm just falls
off. Because I bought one as well, I had the exact same issue. Mm. The right arm doesn't stay on. And of course, I put mine on like a top shelf. So his arm fell off. So he fell off the shelf and just fucking exploded. I chucked him.
I paid like $12
for it. Yeah, it cost me like $12 though.
So like, for me, like, I'm like, all right, cool, I'll get these cool little NECA figures instead. Because I like them. They're really customizable. They're really lots of articulations. I can do cool shit with them. And it just looks really cool. Speaking of God of War and looking really cool.
That's a segue I was going to use, but that's cool. A God of War Collector's Edition, dubbed the Stonemason Edition, has been revealed, which contains a statue, carvings, and more. GameStop revealed the Stonemason Edition of upcoming PS4 exclusive God of War, which includes a host of physical and digital content, and is currently available to pre-order, not in Australia at the moment, though. The Stonemason Edition includes a physical copy of the game, a steelbook case, a 9-inch statue of Kratos and his son Atreus, also included the several small 2-inch carvings and a keychain, as well as a lithograph and cloth map. Digital content includes several in-game shields and armor set, a dynamic PS4 theme, and a digital comic and art book by Dark Horse Comics. The special edition costs $150 US.
I want it. I want it so bad. See, like,
there's just so much garbage in it, though.
Oh, the statue
is dope.
Yeah,
but
see, this is one of those things, though. This is the conflict that I'm having. I'm like, I don't want all the extra garbage. I want the statue. However, I said the exact same thing about The Last of Us back in the day, and I didn't buy it. And that statue alone goes for like $600.
Yeah,
I'm like, fuck.
This will be about $250 in Australia.
So for me, it's for the statue, and then the rest is whatever.
One thing,
the statue is really cool.
One thing I really kind of don't like is the digital art book.
Yeah.
No. Like, I love art books. I fucking love them. Physically.
Yes.
Like, to look at them on a screen is just, it's not it's the same.
JPEGs.
It's not the same. You don't get the same kind of feel from looking at
them. Having from Dark Horse is pretty good, though.
What it, you know, yeah. But, you know, it'll be only a set amount of time before someone scans all the uploads them just to the internet. You can look at it.
It's digital. They're not scanning things. It's already there.
Yeah. Which you can do with physical, I guess. But I like having tangible art books. But it looks cool. But it's going to be well out. I don't want to spend $250 on it. We only want one thing out of it as well.
That's the conflict. And for me, it would look, once again, it's that, like, I want to replace that fucking thing with something prettier. And if I can replace that with that, cool.
Yeah.
Because I could actually just resell the game in theory, because we're going to, like, we may get like a copy of it. So I'm like, well, I don't need the game anymore. Here you go. Sell it to someone.
Yeah. But then all the little 2-inch carvings are just like, we don't even know what they are in how they pertain to the game. We don't even know what they are yet.
Yeah. And that's the weirdest thing about the announcers collector's edition. So remember how last we talked about, you know, pre-orders not being sufficient? I bet you they're just fine now.
Yeah. Until, you know, that's not worldwide yet, though. But yeah. We'll see.
I mean, like, even in the US, like, the pre-orders just suddenly got okay.
Yeah. Number three, Fox Next Games has acquired Cold Iron Studios, and the studio is gearing up for development on a new title set in the Alien cinematic universe. According to Fox Next's announcement, the game will be a shooter for PC and unspecified consoles, Xbox One and PlayStation 4, guaranteed. Well, I say guaranteed. The development team includes industry veterans who've worked on various high-profile titles, including Bioshock Infinite, Metroid Prime 3, Neverwinter, and City of Heroes. Quote, we are thrilled about the opportunity to explore an amazing and rich universe, Zinkevich said, one of the developers. Our background in building online worlds and taking established franchises to the next level in interactive entertainment is a precise fit with our product roadmap ahead. We can't wait to share more info soon. It's got to be better than Colonial Marines.
Yeah.
Because that game was fucking trash.
Alien Isolation was pretty dope, though.
Yeah, that was
about 10 hours too long, but it was pretty good.
So, I'm glad that someone else is getting a chance at this. Hopefully they do it justice. You know, they have worked on very big games, like I said, including Bioshock Infinite, Metroid Prime 3, Neverwinter, and City of Heroes. Very highly acclaimed games. So I think we're in for a treat.
Yeah, especially Infinite and Metroid Prime, big ones. Yeah,
I think we're definitely in for a treat.
So I think when it says shooter, I think it's, I read that as more of a first-person perspective game, in the same way that Alien Isolation is.
I will be
ashamed. Because this is something that I, you know, sort of didn't think about and was listening to another podcast, and they were like, yeah, guns really don't go that well with Alien because they have acid blood. So, like, in any of the... Because this is a technically in-canon game, right? So, I think it's more of just a first-person experience.
We see it in the first Alien game when they first... First game. First movie where they come across it and someone lets out their minigun and they all get sprayed with acid.
Yeah.
And they're like, don't shoot him. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I fucking told you.
Yeah, so that's something... it might be a bit more of a just a first person perspective with probably some vague shooting stuff in there.
That'd be cool.
Rumor mills maybe VR.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
That'd be horrifying.
Great.
Absolutely horrifying.
That would get Dylan to play VR. Actually.
Oh yeah, it would. If that was a thing, I'd get Dylan to play that. That'd be good. That'd be good. Let's play.
Number four, Eric Barone, creator of Stardew Valley, is currently focused on the game's upcoming multiplayer functionality.
Awesome.
Barone, also known as Concerned Ape, posted on Twitter, quote, I'm finished with the new content and have shifted all my attention to getting multiplayer ready. Barone also tweeted the picture of the multiplayer in action. Four-player Stardew Valley LAN party at my house. It's really fun, he said in the post, noting it still needs some work, but the underlying network code is solid. He added, being in the same room and yelling at each other about what to do next or if anyone has got any stone is great fun. Can't wait to share this.
Yep,
great. Woo! He also later, I didn't put it in here, but he also later confirmed that you can marry other players as well.
No, because Buddy, I think he announced that previously because I think Buddy Watson and I were going to get married.
Oh, yeah, okay. Put in more hours than any of you guys, but apparently my expertise is not wanted.
You're already married in the game. You can't divorce, I don't think.
Yeah, you can.
Can you?
You can. And then
and I will.
Okay, so you can get married, obviously have kids.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that life anymore. You get divorced. She fucking hates you. You got two kids and paying child support. You're probably not in the game, but you know what I mean. And then you can see the witch, and she'll turn your kids into doves and fuck them off. And then you can, also pay the witch 10,000 gold to wipe your ex's mind so she doesn't fucking hate you either. And then just start fresh.
The dove part is concerning. the mind wiping a bitch, that's fine.
That's probably not okay either. They're both pretty fucked up.
Oh, really. Ethically, it's kind of ruined, but...
But yeah, the image looks really cool. You know, he's on the farm with three friends as well, and they're all doing different things and all that. Really cool.
It would make me, like I said, I jump in Stardew Valley all the time on the Switch. Mm. So like,
it was also confirmed the most downloaded game on the Switch last year, which is incredible considering Breath of the Wild and all that, and Stardew Valley came out 6 months later.
October, yeah.
Yeah. So that's fucking huge. Well done.
Yeah. So I think it'd be fun for us to all have a big farm together. It'd be cool.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be great. Me, totally you, in. Buddy, one more from the community. Let us know if you want to join in.
Yeah, come party.
He did say it would be early this
year. Come marry Josh.
He did say it would be early this year, so I reckon it'll be about another month away or so. Number five, Blizzard has announced when all players can dive into Overwatch Blizzard World map for competitive play. The Blizzard World map, first announced at BlizzCon 2017, will be available on January 23rd. The map is a homage to Blizzard's other franchises, including World of Warcraft and Hearthstone. Featuring areas themed around all of these games, Blizzard World lets players loose in an amusement park. This map sounds cool as shit. If you're a big Blizzard fan, like a long-time fan.
Which I'm not, so it's more for you.
So, you know, it's like a theme park. You know, like the World of Warcraft area, Starcraft area, Hearthstone area. See a lot of, because there's already a lot of Easter eggs and nods to previous Blizzard games in maps as they are.
So I got a runny nose all of a sudden.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's cool. New maps are great. They're always free.
But I'm just sad about the map.
Why are you sad?
It's beautiful.
So good. Number six, Sony has just announced the Hori Onyx, the company's first officially licensed wireless controller. Aside from being wireless, the Onyx also bears much closer resemblance to the Xbox One's default controller than anything else from Sony, which may be a major plus for some. According to Sony's official announcement, the Hori Onyx will feature all core controls, direct Bluetooth connectivity, dual vibration motors, and asymmetrical joysticks. There's also a catch, though. The device is currently only available in to European customers. Also, it has no headphone jack or light bar.
So
the light bar, I don't give a dick.
Yep.
Whatever. Headphone jack. It's annoying, but I use my headset so rarely that it's not a deal breaker for me.
I use my headset all the time because of babies.
If I needed to use my headset, I'll just get another. Like if I was playing online, I'd just grab my other controller and play. But I'm interested because it looks fucking swish. Actually, yeah. I'll put an image up when I edit this as well. I'm interested because we've said before that we both really like the feel of Xbox's controllers.
Yeah, the Xbox controller is really kind of good. Like, it's a good, sturdy build. Like, DualShock's great as well. Mm. The DualShock 4 is drastically better than the DualShock 3.
Yeah.
But there's just something, like, the Xbox feels good.
Yeah, and the swapping of the D-pad and the left joystick just feels more ergonomic.
It sometimes feels fun. Like, I remember reading about why they designed it that way, and the whole idea was because they wanted to focus on first-person shooters, so it kind of... The whole reason is it kind of gives you that motion. It gives you, like, just subtly puts you in, like, the gun stance, right?
So it'll be hard to wrap your head around, though, for a while.
It takes me a while. Like, whenever I switch between the two, it takes me a while.
Yeah.
But we should also mention this isn't the first third-party licensed controller. They've also had the Hori have made another one, and then Razer. The Razer have made the Nagu, I believe, Nagu?
Both wired.
Controller.
I don't know if the Razer one is or not, but this is the first officially licensed wireless.
Well, the Razer one is officially licensed as well.
Oh, is it?
So I believe they're both wired. Right. So this is really cool. It's still no Xbox One Elite controller, which I want so bad. I want a DualShock 4 Elite.
DS4E.
Yeah. And like that would be like, if I was to redesign a DualShock, I would be like, just get the Xbox Elite, but make it PlayStation. Because like it's incredibly well built. It's got cool triggers on the back. It's replaceable thumbsticks. You can tweak it. You can adjust it. You can pretty much manipulate.
I do like Xbox's like build your own controller, custom controller.
Yeah, the Creative Center, whatever it's called.
So cool. A lot of really unique ones I've seen online. It'd be fucking cool as. Only Europe at the moment, but I imagine it will. Is it? What?
We're technically marked as European regions.
Oh, okay. Don't know a price yet, though.
Expensive.
I'll skip the next one until after. We'll come back to it because the next one is quite long. Top-selling games for week ending 14th of January 2018. Starting number 10, Minecraft. Number 9, Ashes Cricket. Number 8, Crash Insane Trilogy. Number 7, NBA 2K18. Number 6, Battlefront 2. Number 5, The Witcher 3. Number 4, GT Sport. Number 3, GTA 5. Number 2, Assassin's Creed Origins. And number 1, still COD World War 2.
Cool.
World War 2 is going to be in there for ages.
Oh, yeah. Always is. Oh, nice Witcher 3 bump.
Yeah, it was on sale in the 60% sale. So you could get the Game of the Year edition with all DLC for like $23.
That's pretty damn beautiful.
Insane. And Minecraft somehow found its way back up there too. School holidays, kids are fucking bored.
It's Minecraft. Fuck off.
Exactly. but yeah, COD's going to be in there for a long time and GTA will not leave.
Nope. Which is good because GTA Online is so goddamn good. It's a dense one, guys. Get ready.
Last bit of news. It is quite long. I cut it down as much as I could, but still needed to
get... That's right. Just read it out as is.
Still needed to get the facts in there.
Yeah.
I titled this one Quantic Nightmare. I thought it was a fun play on words. Quantic Dream has come under fire this weekend after reports from three separate French outlets made accusations of inappropriate behaviour, overworked staff, and, quote, schoolboy culture that allows for racism, sexism, and homophobia. Quantic Dream has since refuted the allegations. Le Monde, Canard PC, and Mediapart have all published reports on the behaviour at the studio behind Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, and Detroit Become Human. As translated by Eurogamer, studio head David Cage and executive producer Guillaume de Fontenemama are at the centre of these allegations, with Cage in particular accused... What?
I'm trying to pronounce it.
Guillaume
de Fontenemama.
We'll go with Fontenemama. With Cage in particular accused of an autocratic style of working, demanding long hours and refusing to listen to others, with the former employee stating that he sees the studio as a private or semi-private space in which he can, quote, say whatever he wants, it is his place. Some of the accusations levelled at Cage also include his attitude toward female workers, alleging dirty jokes, smutty remarks in the presence of his wife, and inappropriate remarks about female actors in his games. Former employees also refer to alleged homophobic and racist remarks, with Cage reportedly watching back a burglary on CCTV and asking a Tunisian worker if the thief was a relative. Co-founder Dave Fondumier, meanwhile, has been accused of inappropriate behaviour around staff, in particular staff parties. At staff parties, the French custom upon greeting is to air kiss, and Fondumier is accused of making more contact than is appropriate during these greetings. There are also reports of a cache of 600 controversially photoshopped images in existence on Quantic Dream servers, with some dating back to 2013. These apparently show pictures of Quantic Dream's collaborators depicted in a variety of ways, placing them in sexual positions, adding homophobic or sexist slurs, or making them look like Nazis. These images were apparently sent in group emails, including those belonging to Cage and de Fondumier. Cage and de Fondumier, for their part, categorically deny any of these allegations, and they did issue a statement refuting them.
Yeah,
to come out at once.
Shit, okay, so I'm going to put it out there. I incorrectly dismissed this article without, like, this information without even really diving into it, because I had just read the allegations towards Aziz Ansari, the comedian, and I read that, and I'm like, this isn't sex harassment.
Yeah, I did read all that too.
That's just a bad date.
That's just
fuck off.
Bad sex. Yeah.
Yeah, like fuck off. And then, like, and because I'm honestly a little quote unquote burnt out with all this stuff coming out. So when this article popped up, I went,
I'm like, hey, just read it.
And then you're like, can you read it? I'm like, fine. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa. Like, you know, because there's a normie, it's kind of like, ooh, they allegedly did this. I'm like, there's a lot of evidence here, and this is very specific.
Yeah, some of the photos have been, the photoshopped images, you can find some online. There's also a report and proof. I didn't want to look at it, but apparently there is proof that from Beyond Two Souls, Alan Page has a fully nude avatar in the game files. Because there's a shower scene, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
We only see kind of chest up, but apparently just everything.
They just modelled it for fun.
Modelled everything for funsies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, fuck. Like, we're not even safe in video games anymore. And we've had a lot the last few months. There was reports of CD Projekt Red being a shit place to work.
There's not this level shit.
They
were shit for demanding hours.
Yeah. There's been allegations at Naughty Dog as well for a variety of different things, but this is probably the worst to come out so far.
See, this is by far the worst because it's not just busy hours, it's all this other stuff. Mm. Now, this is certainly not condoning the behavior, but it's one of those things. Like, the games industry has always been a very, very male, very masculine dominated thing. And, you know, you put a bunch of dudes together in a room and eventually they're going to talk about some horrible shit. Like, it's what dudes do. We do it all the time. Like, there's a reason you don't see what we say before this starts. It's never this bad, of course, but it's like...
Oh, debate. But you need to adjust your attitude based on the company.
But
got to
remember, workplace.
Yeah.
No matter, like, it's all, you know, like, oh, you get a bunch of dudes together, cool. Workplace. Mm. I have fun and games at my workplace, but I would never do any of this. Mm. And that's the key difference. Like, if they weren't at work and this was all happening, cool. Well, it's not cool, but it's...
in a casual environment.
Yes.
Right? And the hardest thing is, too, you know, with Detroit coming out, you know, you read all this stuff, and if... like, it's all allegedly at the moment, but there is proof out there, but no one's being sued or anything yet. Apparently, there's attorneys involved and all that. But if it comes out and it's like, yeah, no, this is totally, like, as far as the court is concerned, this is all legit, it's like, well, fuck. Do I even buy Detroit at this point?
I will.
And I want to. And I will.
See, for me, because I don't... I refuse to believe that everyone, like, every single individual person at that place... was engaged in that behavior.
I don't believe that either.
So by us boycotting it and not buying it, what we're doing is we're actually preventing people that were genuinely good, well-behaved people that worked on this game not getting either their money or not getting their art out.
You're also rewarding the dickbags there as well.
It's also true.
So it's a very middle ground.
It was one of those things like those dickbags will get their comeuppance otherwise.
Well, hopefully.
You know what I mean? Like the outcome is like there's people that did good, they're not getting any reward. They're just getting tarnished with the same brush. So these guys, in theory, will get their shit and get nothing, where the other guys get nothing, period. So like,
yeah, I getcha.
It's so conflicting, because like, I'm pretty sure I've made some horrible Photoshops with my friends.
Yeah.
Like, I've done this shit. You mean, but like, it's just not at work. And like, my question is, by the sounds of it, with 600 photos, it was common practice to be like, hey, check what I did with Josh. And even you're like,
eight dicks around his face.
You know what I mean? It's like, and you've gone, well, that's funny, beat this. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the culture. Whether that's good, like, it's totally a bad thing, but it doesn't seem as harassment in the terms of that's gang up on Dylan.
No, but it also depends, you know, did they get images of other employees not involved in the banter?
That's my
question.
What
I mean?
Yeah.
Like I said, apparently you can find some of them online. I didn't go looking because I didn't want to dig that deep into it. But you just don't know who was involved, who was unwillingly involved, you know, and all that kind of stuff as well. Because Quantic Dreams is a big studio.
100 and some people?
That's pretty decent. So yeah. I don't know. Worth chatting about.
Because I personally think that's one of the key questions you need to know. Is everyone that was involved in these photo chains, did everyone consent to be, you know, is everyone actively involved in a fun way? It's a horrible thing to say. But I mean, like...
Friends are allowed to give each other shit.
Yes. Like, agree for you to fuck around with a picture of me, you agree for me to fuck around a picture of you. And like, granted, workplace, very different rules. However... I don't think that could be used as a... they're horrible because they did this. I'm like, well, yeah.
But if I was all of a sudden to show you a picture I'd photoshopped of your wife...
very different.
Very different. And
very
not
different.
Okay.
Not okay. Well, depends. That's funny. But no.
I found it funny.
Yeah. But no, it's a horrible thing. And of course, we don't condone it. It's a tough part because we don't condone it, but like we can sympathize, I guess. Because
no,
as I said, it's... No. It's the wrong word, but you get me at my point. So like, horrible shit. Horrible shit, but it's like it's... and by the sounds of it, there's a lot of stress, a lot of crunch, and maybe this is how they de-stress during crunch.
Yeah, but not everyone wants to de-stress that way.
Exactly.
So yeah, that was all just on the photos.
I'm being devil's advocate
here. But then there is the racism, sexism, homophobia.
Racism, sexism, homophobia, that's different. Very different.
Yeah, I guess...
I'm focusing on the wrong part.
No one has been sued. Like, there's no lawsuits going at the moment, but if any developments, I'll chuck it in and we'll keep following it up. That's it for the news.
Yes.
As we move into this week's topic, as we talk to the players about beta month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's actually been beta month. No, you are beta. You're currently beta month. So we had Monster Hunter World earlier on. We've got Dragon Ball FighterZ and
Metal Gear Survive. So we're talking about Dragon Ball and Metal Gear Survive because Monster Hunter. Probably talked enough about that.
Yeah, and like that comes out next week. Next week's show, you'll have a review for Monster Hunter and a review for DBZ.
But there are reasons to be concerned for DBZ given how the open betas went.
So thanks.
Do you want to do that first?
Yeah, we'll go kick that first. So thanks to Bandai Australia, they actually gave us a code for the closed beta, so we played it a little bit before everybody else.
2 days before?
Yeah, about a day or so before. We couldn't even get in. I couldn't get in. Like this, as of launch time, couldn't get in. And then I got in for about 5 minutes and then I got booted out. So if you watch the stream that I did Wednesday, two weeks back.
24 minutes,
because I got in for 5 minutes and then I got booted out, couldn't get back in.
Yep.
Now,
is that your review of the game?
No. Granted, it is a beta. Their entire design is to test this shit.
I dispute that at this point.
However,
because it's so close to launch, this is big shit you've got to fix in a week. like that. They had to know at that point of launching the beta that servers weren't great. And I get that, you know, betas are important to learn this kind of information, but that's pretty fucked. This close, a week from launch and no one being able to play on a beta, like, that's not okay at this point in time.
And like, and I'm the same as you. I'm like, this is kind of fucked. And like, it has left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth. However, when you play the game, the game's dope. Like, it's really good. It looks stunning. It's so much fun. There's enough in it to simply walk in and just punch dudes in the face and you may come out okay. But when you start having to learn the finesse and like, okay, cool, that's how you do your key blasts and that's, you know.
Yeah, this is how you counter a Kamehameha.
This is how you counter that, and then how to get a good juggle going on. And
then I start juggling and tag a teammate in to continue the juggle.
Yeah, so you get the juggle up and you're like, okay, bounce, switch out. And then,
has it benefited from, because we, 2 weeks ago, we briefly streamed on PS2 Budokai Tenkaichi 2, which still used 3D.
Yeah, it was 3D playing that one.
Big benefit going to the 2D style.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
There's none of that weird, I don't know where you are. There you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have the flying fighting, which is one of the really cool things about the 3D plane, is you can both just fucking fly and then fight and boot someone into, you know, like, it adds what the there is a lot of airborne fighting in the show, and it's fast airborne fighting as well, and that it's really cool to be able to do that in a game. Like, I know in like Xenoverse and stuff you can do that. Here it's a bit more grounded, like you can jump, but it is very clearly Street Fighter-ish, you know, in the way it's locked. It's 2D.
Did the roster expand from when we played at PAX and EB?
Okay, so the lineup on the beta was Goku, Gohan, adult Gohan, Vegeta, Android 18, Cell, Frieza, Beerus, and Kid Buu, I think.
I think Android...
Yeah, and Krillin. And Krillin, sorry. So
the bloke android with like the orange mohawk.
That's Android
16.
I swear
he was playable.
Android
EB.
I think Android 16 is playable there as well. Yeah, so I spent a lot of time with obviously with Goku, Vegeta. And Piccolo's playable too. So my team was Goku, Vegeta, and Piccolo. I wanted Trunks because Trunks, my man, wasn't there. Kind of bummed. But obviously the roster's going to expand when the game releases.
Hopefully not as DLC.
I'm not.
There will definitely be DLC characters.
Without a doubt.
It's like that that BlazBlue game, which was like the anime fighting game that had like Persona characters and stuff in it. Literally 50% of the roster is DLC. Now the game's still 6 months from launch, but like announcing it that early is like you get 20 and then you can buy another 20 characters. 6 months from launch, that's fucked.
It is a bit.
That's very fucked.
Well, because I know, speaking of Street Fighter, so Dylan has only just got himself a PS4. Because I asked him, I'm like, dude, you can buy Street Fighter. He's like, yeah, I bought it, and it's fucked. Because like, he's like, half the characters aren't even, you know, like,
yeah.
Because Dylan's a big Street
Fighter
guy.
He's old school Street Fighter.
Yeah. So he's like, the idea of owning the characters that you fight your way through and say, hey, here's Blanca. And you're like, all right, cool. Then you work your way through that, you know. So he's a bit bummed about that. But. It's really cool. I like it. Now, I have reason to believe there's a campaign. It wasn't playable in the online. The online was... So the beta was purely online multiplayer. So we get to see the new cool little lobby, which is kind of this nice little circle courtyard, a bunch of different offshoots. A lot of them were sort of barred off, but there was the training. There were training, like a replay watcher sort of thing, and the matchmaking. And you have your own little character. It's like kind of like a pop vinyl, you know, bigger head, smaller body, and you could sort of, you know, be different, couple different characters. Be Goku, like Piccolo. Goku.
Just like your
Boo,
online avatar.
Yeah, your avatars is just a particular character, and you also fuck with its color schemes and stuff as well. And like that, but they were actually quite adorable. So the game is without a doubt very visually appealing. And I do like that a lot. It keeps me. And I, when you do your sweet key blasts. And if you if you finish a fight on a key blast, it's really cool.
Did seem like a bit of a visual clusterfuck at times too, though.
Oh, it is, but in a cool way. Like if you know what you're doing, you can watch it and pick it up. The thing that I found the toughest was blocking.
Okay, is it like precision blocking? Like
yeah, you have to
you
like
can't just hold it.
You have to press back.
Yeah.
At the time they hit you.
Yeah. Right. So you can't just hold back.
Like, yes, you can't hold back. Or I know like Tekken is an example. If you don't press anything, Tekken blocks. within reason.
Yeah.
Like if it's any, if it's a low, or as if it's like in terms of impact, it's like low, medium, or high. Mm. If it's a high impact, you'd block brakes every time. But you can block a low without doing anything. But this is, yeah, if you have to tap it, it's all about timing, and I found that very difficult to get personally. Yeah. But I think those that know and love fighting games will probably get a lot more out of it than me, simply because they have a history.
Live and breathe it.
Live and breathe it. But I'm very keen for that campaign.
Yeah. Cool.
Because if I can relive some very key like DBZ moments, but in this really cool art style, yes, please.
Massacring Raditz.
Ooh, yes, please. Mm.
Raditz was probably, out of all the villains, Raditz was still the biggest dickhead.
He's dumb.
I fucking hated that dumb dude. What is his hair? Yeah. Why? Like the afro that goes like
down to his... Anime hair's always weird.
Yeah, but his was worse. Imagine if he went Super Saiyan. Looked like he stuck his finger in a PowerPoint.
Well, we've got to remember, you know, Super Saiyan 3... Goku, right? He gets long ass hair.
I thought that was 4, where he gets his tail back as well.
No, that's the 4th one.
It's a massive clusterfuck. A friend of mine's watched DB Super, and he's all up to date with that. And he said now he's like, Goku's like a Super Saiyan God 2 or something like that. And it just doesn't stop.
Yeah, so as far as I remember, there was Goku, then there was Kaioken Goku, which is sort of like a bumped up red, not red, but kind of like a red aura. And then there was Super Saiyan Goku, one. And then 2 was slightly bigger. And then 3 was
long hair,
eyebrows are gone, very strong brow.
Mm.
And then
4 was long black hair.
Yeah, 4 was where, yeah, you're Super Saiyan, but your hair goes black again, and then you get a tail. That was from GT.
Yeah.
And then God, I don't know. Because then I fell off after GT.
Blue hair now.
Yeah.
I think God is the I don't know. I'm keen on Super, actually, like, because talking to my friend about the guy that I work with, because he's watched it, he said it was really good. You know, they've cut out all the shit, like Dragon Ball Z Kai did, where they cut out, like, I think it was like episode 10, they were already fighting Frieza, instead of like episode 35 originally. Just cut all the shit, and apparently that's continued into Super. So.
Yeah, because I do have a couple of Kais on Blu-ray. I think I picked them up at the Cash Converters different times, so there's like the first 4 episodes, and then the 15th, and I'm like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
If I can get much... find a streaming service, I think, like Crunchyroll
Anime Lab.
Yeah,
I don't know which one has it, but yeah.
So it did certainly pique my interest of going back to DBZ and be like, if Kai doesn't have the four episodes, no. The only other downside was the beta did have Japanese voices, It was all well and good, but feeling like
it's not what you.
Yeah.
I'll just never reminisce about Dragon Ball Z while we can. I'll never forget like the morning of school where Goku finally went Super Saiyan, and he's like doing the stance, and he's like fucking Frieza off. He's like, "You are my friends," and there's like lightning that starts up, and then he flashes yellow, and then the piano music comes in.
Yeah.
Fuck, man! Like even now, like I watched that clip on YouTube last week where he goes Super Saiyan for the first time, and just. The emotion tied with the music and the atmosphere and the dialogue being spoken, it's just too much. It just fucking hits so hard.
See, I kind of fell into DBZ late. So, the Frieza stuff I saw, but I was kind of new to it. But Cell, like the Cell games and the Cell Saga that's my shit.
Right.
So, like, I get the same level of... with Gohan's one-handed Kamehameha with Goku. Which you can do in this game. One of Gohan's power moves is the one-handed Kamehameha, and fucking Goku pops up behind.
That's right. Any time one of them goes Super Saiyan for the first time or levels up Super Saiyan, it's always just so well done. It might take a whole episode to do it, but that's acceptable to me because it's a big moment in the show, and you know they just marry all the auditory and visual elements just always align so well. I might have to watch Dragon Ball Z tonight.
Yeah, I'm thinking I might.
Or just like watch the best of Dragon Ball Z clips on YouTube or something.
What's the abridgment?
I stopped watching it. Boo.
Yeah, I kind of fell off on Boo as well.
I saw Fat Boo.
Yeah, and then Kid Boo.
Kid Boo, but I never saw Majin Boo.
Yeah, Majin Boo is the big one. I never saw the grey one.
No, Majin Boo is like the...
Who's the grey one?
Majin Boo is the one with like the black, like the... That's the Boo. Like that's the Boo. You know what I mean? Because it starts... I'll show you.
All right, hi, everyone.
Hey, everyone. Just we're meant to talk about the game.
For the players, the pop culture is PlayStation Dragon Ball Z podcast.
Wi-Fi back here is not great.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's waiting for cash. There we go. That's Majin Buu.
Yeah, I remember. That's
fucked up. Like, that's...
Isn't that Kid Buu? Buu?
No, Kid Buu was like the...
Because I know that guy. I know that Buu. The big, tall fuck-off. That guy.
All right, well, let's just...
Indulge us for a moment.
Buu... Former. I spelled it wrong. Right. Fuck, there's more than I thought.
Okay, so I remember... Oh, hang on, where'd it go?
I was trying to click it.
See, the grey one, I don't know.
I'll put this image up
now. My
well,
key question is, are all these forms playable? Like, because is that the full roster? Like,
what,
I know...
What grey? Oh, this one. I never saw that one.
Yeah. I know. Top left... Save this on your desktop so you remember to use this exact image. I know the top, so the go, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I know 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7. So 1, 6, and 7.
Because Fat Boo is a good guy now, like still in the show.
He's like, ah, because he eats a fucking ton.
Yeah,
of shit.
Because as far as I know, like Margin Boo or whatever separated from Fat Boo. Mm. So Fat Boo's got all like the joy, and Margin Boo's got all the hate. Mm. But Fat Boo, apparently, I think is still around in Super as like a helpful character.
Oh, cool.
I don't know what came after that.
GT.
I remember the Android saga being fucking legit.
Yeah, so the Android saga led into the Cell saga. Because like the Android saga, like I remember really enjoying it because they introduced Cell and then, yeah, and then like having the Cell games. Of I just love the hubris of Cell being like, I'm going to have this entire tournament just so you can fight me.
Yeah.
Like, and then you get to see, you know, Hercule or Mr. Satan. Fuck that shit.
All right. Metal Gear Survive.
Yeah. a beta that sort of came out of nowhere was Metal Gear Survive. So Konami have, for those that don't know, so Metal Gear Solid, the Metal Gear franchise we thought was dead with Hideo Kojima leaving Konami to go make Kojima Productions. And we thought that without him, Konami would just stop making Metal Gear games.
Hubris. This is Konami we're talking about.
So there they then announced Metal Gear Survive, which is
an online only,
microtransaction
laden.
No, not yet.
There is though.
It's yeah, I'm sure there will be.
I'm pretty sure
not
it's
yet.
Been confirmed.
It is an online multiplayer survival game with building elements similar to Fortnite, mixed with wave battle. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it has microtransactions.
According to GameSpot, Metal Gear Survive requires a constant internet connection and has microtransactions.
Cool. I imagine it will. I'm not disputing that it won't, but like, right.
I wouldn't put him in the beta.
Yeah,
that'd
be
silly.
So everyone is sort of standoffish. So, oh, we should also mention the whole subplot of the game is that during the time of Metal Gear Ground Zeroes, which is the prequel to Phantom Pain, there is a wormhole that opens in the sky, sucks a mother base and a bunch of random people through it and drops you in this alternate dimension. That allows them to use the Fox engine and all the assets for Metal Gear Solid 5 without having Solid Snake in there. Easy as well. Like, that's pretty much what they've done.
So one thing I don't understand at this point is, what is the goal? Get through X amount of waves? Is it endless and they keep getting stronger?
In the beta, there is it's a salvage mission. So the whole idea of the mission is to get loot and get gear. Mm. So what happens is there's like a giant digger thing that absorbs this thing called Cuban energy, which is this energy.
It's not people, is
no,
it?
No, Cuban, not Cuban people.
Right.
it harnesses this energy, and your idea is to protect this thing for X amount of waves. I think it's in the easy mode, it's 3 waves. So there's a bunch of boring ass looking enemies that are essentially like a person with half the face moving off a giant crystal hanging out of it. So they just come at you in waves and you've got to survive the waves. And then while you're doing so, by doing surviving the waves is not as simple as just fighting them because they're pretty brutal. And there's different, and there is 2 enemy variants that I've seen so far. It's a standard sort of grunt and then an explosive unit. So what you need to do is you can sprawl around the world, pick up things, break down boxes, get your wood, break down barrels, get iron, a bunch of assorted material picking up, and then going back to the base and building fences and doors and walls and things to block off. And
do you have a time limit between waves? Or
five.
You...
It varies. Okay. Yeah, but like, I know there's like 5 minutes, but once you drop into the map, it's all done by a portal, so you go, tunk, and you're in, and you fuck around, do your thing, set up, wave comes, survive your wave, rebuild. Yeah.
Did you get to try multiplayer at all? Or
no, like, I haven't. Only because I'm still trying to get the hang of it myself. I've played it like 3 different times now. Not for like, I played it for the stream for about an hour and a bit, and then I played a little bit last night, and then a little bit this morning, just sort of getting the hang of it and trying to do different things. Because the way that mission's set up, it's very, I've been doing the same thing every time because there's not much room for difference. Because I'm only one person, I only have so many resources. So for me, I was like, okay, cool. Same thing. And then try variant later.
Yeah.
Having someone come in with me would drastically change how it plays. I would be keen to check it out.
Okay.
It's about 8, 9 gig if you want to.
I'm just questioning the longevity of it. If, I mean, you know, do you just, like, do the waves get progressively harder?
Yes.
You know, do you know, see what I'm getting at? Like, what's the hook?
The hook is the loot. And like this, the small carrot on the stick. So when you finally get to make a gun, and then you got the gun, and then you make ammo for the gun, it's kind of like, so the whole idea is getting to a point where you can take out these waves with absolute ease.
Is there like an unlimited mode where it just keeps getting harder and harder?
Not, once again, the beta is very short. There's only so much you can do in it. Yeah. When the game releases, I imagine there's a lot more, and I imagine there is some sort of campaign as well. This is just sort of server testing and giving a... There's no story in this beta. Like, this beta is simply designed for gameplay and mechanics. It wants you to get... Rather than sort of going, oh, how does this fit to the giant Metal Gear franchise, this is how it plays. Mm. And how it plays is a mixed bag.
Mm.
I'm enjoying it. Enjoying it surprisingly more than I thought I would. And the Fox engine is beautiful.
Mm.
But I don't feel it was entirely designed for a survival looting game like this.
Well, I watched you play for a few minutes when I got here just before the show, and just looking at how it was handling and how you were salvaging and all that, I'm just wondering how long till we get Metal Gear Battle Royale. And it did seem like it could make... maybe not 100 people.
It's totally doable.
But it did seem like it would be doable with the mechanics that they've put into this game so far.
Yeah, and it would be cool.
It looked pretty cool.
Like, and it's the personal conflict, because I'm a really big Metal Gear Solid fan, right? Mm. And outside of the name Metal Gear, whatever, Metal Gear Survive, I'm not, as of yet, getting the Metal Gear-ness.
I don't think you're supposed to.
Which is good. Like, I think what they've done is they've put the Metal Gear name on it simply as an excuse to reuse all the assets from 5. Because if they just called it Survive, everyone's like, you know, you're clearly using Metal Gear assets.
Mm. Yeah, I get that.
So I think they've called it Metal Gear Survive to be like, we wanted to make this game. Now, rumor has it that Kojima may have actually pitched this idea before he left. But whatever. I think it's for them to be like, cool, we've built it using all this Fox engine, which we built for Metal Gear Solid 5, and in theory would never use again, right?
So we may as well get something.
Do we know,
is this full priced?
Like, I believe so.
Okay.
You can probably do an EB Games check.
I will.
Because it comes out in February of next year. Yeah, 22nd of Feb, I believe. I'll certainly be reaching out. Oh, $69.95. It's actually less.
So it's not a full price game. EB Games placeholder price for AAA games is normally $99.95. Then they adjust it as the game gets an official price. But this is held at $69.95.
So it's looking to be like a 30, 40 US.
Mm. Still a lot. Because, okay, because, you know, EB Games normally will charge $99.95 for a brand new game, and you can normally go to Big W or Target and on launch week, and if you can get a copy, $68, $78. Whereas this, I don't think Target and all that will get this game. No. It seems a bit too niche, maybe.
$50.
If they do, I'd imagine it'd be about $50, $59.95. I don't know, to me it seems steep, but I haven't looked at, you know, how much replayability. I'd imagine it has quite a bit.
I have been feeling the pull to do it more.
Mm.
And my biggest concern, as I said, big fan of Metal Gear franchise. And I was like, this feels like blasphemy, but it plays fun.
As of right now, how much longer does the beta go for?
Up until Sunday.
Okay. I'll download it when I get home.
Yeah, and we'll give it a little bit of a go tonight.
Because I've got some whiskey for later tonight. I was gonna play Pyre all night.
I still can.
But... No, if this is I should give it a go.
Yeah,
I should. I didn't.
When
didn't
it's
play,
free,
I didn't play the Dragon Ball beta just because I know we're getting a copy next week. I'll play it when I want to play it. But this, I'm probably not going to buy it. But I feel like I should at least try it to see.
We'll probably. I'll certainly be reaching out, and we'll probably get a copy of it. Not being prideful or whatever or arrogant.
Look, but pre-order bonuses,
of course. As I said, we'll certainly reach out. We'll know that, get some hands on with it, which would be cool. But while it's free, I'd say jump on it.
From my perspective, not like in a hubrisy kind of way, but as someone who's never played Metal Gear before, so I have no
opinion's worth something.
No, but yeah, like I have no no, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not comparing it to anything else. No road, like, to me, it's just a game.
Yeah, and like I do the difficulty is the internet's like, fuck Konami. I'm like, yeah, but you're just repeating what everybody else is saying. You're like...
No, there are reasons to say fuck Konami.
There are without a doubt reasons to say fuck Konami, but I don't think it should just be brushed off.
Yeah.
And I think there is, once again, sounding like dicks, there is a little bit to... being that better man and going, you know what, I'm going to give it a try.
And giving them props when they do well.
Yes, and the props are, it's kind of fun.
Well, we'll see how fun it is later with two players.
Like, I don't know why Metal Gear should be on the title.
Well, like you said, it's probably so they can use the same engine and assets.
Like you said, I understand using the assets, but I'm like, you probably could have called it something else and just said, we're using the Fox engine, shut up.
It's our engine, we'll do the fuck we want.
Exactly. But... I had a lot of fun with it. And I'm probably still going to have fun with it until it stops.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm happy to give it a go with you tonight. Assuming that PSN is cooperating today. My PSN is so random. Like, what did I have to download? I had to download something the other day. Pyre.
Did you download Dissidia?
I did. That game's rubbish. I fucking hated that. I hated it so bad.
There's another beta?
Yeah, it was another beta. The Final Fantasy Dissidia beta. Oh, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
I hated it. I'm a huge Final Fantasy fan.
Yeah.
All the way up to 10. I'm one of those boys who stopped at 10. I tried, never tried 11, which was the MMO, which failed. Never touched 12. Tried 13. It was just a fucking hallway. Mm-hmm. Like, it's as linear as you can be in a video game. Trash. Didn't try 14 online. Tried 15. Not Final Fantasy.
Apparently 15 is a whole...
Yeah, apparently it is too, game, but it's still... I'm a jaded old fan. You know, it's okay. Not my Final Fantasy. They got rid of turn-based combat and all that shit. I've said that before. But so this is like a fighting game where they've got the whole roster of characters, you know, the main characters from the game, their main villain. And from the beta, it was a 3-on-3 match and everyone's like fighting each other and you can fly around and shit. It was just really confusing. Like, there were hundreds of different things you can do. It's like, here's how you use a summon, here's how you use magic, here's how you block, here's these attacks, here's how you zip, here's how you fly, you can run up trees, you can jump off this, and it was just information overload. It was so I picked my boy Squall from Final Fantasy VIII. He's the best protagonist I've ever had, even though he doesn't say anything. That's probably why he was so good. The silent protection.
There's no character development. And you're like, I like it.
No, I think it's because there is a lot of character development with him. He starts off as this real standoffy, like, lone wolf kind of guy.
Yeah,
he's very quiet. He's like, you know, just leave me alone. I'm doing my own thing. And then towards the end of the game, he's like leading and speeches and all that kind of shit.
Oh, so he does talk?
He does talk.
Okay. Yeah. The way you're selling it, he's like a silent protagonist.
That as in he's the lone wolf. I should have said that instead.
Okay. That's not
true. But yeah, a lot of characters. Anyway. So yeah, just went through the training. And the training's... You got categories, if you know. Yeah, you go to like a training mode. Think of like Injustice, for example. It's like, push square to punch. Okay. Push square 3 times to do a square combo. Okay. And then it's like, now push X to jump. And then it takes you step by step. This was like a fucking catalog of like 30 different things to do in training. So you select one. It loads you into training. You do that one thing. Then you have to exit training to select the next one. And it just loads you back in. And by the time you get through all of them, you've forgotten the first half because you have to keep jumping in and out of it. So then I went into an actual, like, not an online battle, but a CPU battle. And it was just a clusterfuck. There's shit just going everywhere. People are, like, flying past me. There's summons coming out of the fucking sky and, like, just putting me down. I don't know. I gave it maybe an hour and a half before I just kind of went, I don't get it.
Yep.
But Max, you know, community member Max, swears by it. You know, he fucking loves it. But I don't know, just didn't do it for me.
Max is a big old nerd though.
Graphically, it looks cool. And, you know, the intro cinematic was really cool. You've got all your favorites, all like the protagonists running up against the group of the antagonists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see like the Final Fantasy VIII protagonist battling the Final Fantasy IV antagonists. It's a really cool crossover.
So if you're a big Final Fantasy guy,
if you're a long-time fan of the series, you know, that opening cinematic is amazing because there's so much happening between characters that you know and love. But I don't know. It's just, it seemed like a lot to wrap my head around and it didn't make me want to wrap my head around it.
Okay.
Which kind of sucks.
It does look
cool. It looks cool. But yeah, like the big thing, like I'm happy to put in the time with video games and, you know, if I lose, like, I need to learn how to play a bit better and a bit better. But the game has to make me want to.
Mm-hmm.
And just from what I played in the beta, just made me not want to play anymore instead.
That's a little bit bite.
Pretty much like PUBG.
Oh. But let us know what you thought if you got your hands on either DBZ, Metal Gear Solid Survive, or Final Fantasy Dissidia. Let us know in those comments below, or head to the Facebook community group. Well, I'm sure we'll do some bullshit. We probably should do like a post like after on the Monday. Be like, hey, let's break down what we talked about in Four Players today.
Yeah, could do that.
Pretty good idea. Mm. Good conversation. Yes, but yeah, these are all games that are coming out sometime in the future. And let's look at ones that are happening. I'm about segues to drop. So this intersection could be still coming to the players.
New releases for the week of January 23rd, 2018.
Thank you, Josh.
Stop me when you want to chat.
Okay.
The Aquatic Adventure of the Last Human, PS4 Digital. Celeste, PS4 Digital. Dragon Ball FighterZ, PS4
it's,
Digital.
Yeah, Dragon Ball FighterZ.
I suppose.
It's like the 90s.
It should be a lowercase e then.
Yeah, no, it should be, right.
Don't need to stop talking about that because we already did. Iconoclasts, PS4, PS Vita Digital. The Inpatient, PSVR Digital Retail.
Yes, The Inpatient, a game that we played at PAX or EB. No, PAX. No, EBX. I played EBX, Inpatient. Bro. Yep. So this is the prequel to Until Dawn. So doing what Supermassive Games have been doing really good, which is VR. Mm-hmm. Like they did Until Dawn Rush of Blood. They've got Bravo Team coming up in a month or so. Fucking A.
Lords of Machine, PS4 Digital. Lost Sphere, PS4 Digital. Monster Hunter World, PS4 Woo! Digital. I've got a big one coming up at the end that I'm really excited to surprise you for. OKKO, Let's Play Heroes, PS4 Digital. And the last game to top the week off, a game that Ryan had no idea was coming out, that I've been hyping him up for since the start. Since before we started recording, for PS4 Digital out on the 24th of January, Wild Turkey Hunter. And I ain't lying. The cover image is an actual picture of a turkey with a crosshair on its balls, on its throat.
It's a JPEG of.
I'll put it up.
It's a JPEG of a turkey with a crosshair and clearly a font. Well, what the fuck is with
like,
the,
what's this?
What's that weird black between. Yeah. All right, that may be the one. Come experience interactive hunting at its best. Enjoy matching wits with America's most elusive game bird, the wild turkey. There should be a comma there, but there isn't.
Did I get you?
You did. I'm like, oh fuck.
What have I forgotten?
Because like Monster Hunter, that's an M. So there's almost so much alphabet after M. What could it be?
I found the image, the cover art, just so
horrendous.
Funny. If you enjoyed that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday.
Before we do, we have questions. I actually got questions this week.
Oh.
I was a little sneaky, and I was like, "Hey, you know what we keep forgetting to do? Questions."
No, we do when we organise a topic well in advance.
But yeah, so the questions don't always have to be just about the topic. They can be about literally whatever. If you want to bullshit about some sort of games thing, just tap away. Where the fuck? Is it? There it is. Cool. So, Paul from Player 2 asked the question, after Shadow of the Colossus drops, there are 5 big PS4 exclusives supposed to drop in 2018. Days Gone, Spider-Man, God of War, Detroit Become Human, and Dreams. With Sony's history, I don't think anyone will be surprised if one of the games gets delayed to 2019. So, which one is it most likely to be?
Even though Sony just last week confirmed that it is coming out in 2018, Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man. Because like, out of all of them, that looks to be the one that's probably going to be later in the year.
Yeah.
I think it'll push it. Yeah, it'll push in 2019.
So I reckon before mid-year, we'll have God of War and we'll have Detroit.
Yeah.
And then just after mid-year, we'll get Days Gone, Dreams. Who the fuck knows?
Who cares?
But yeah, if they had to push one to 2019, I would probably say Spider-Man.
I agree. I think
it's not Spider-Man. Tied to any, like, not one of those, you know, we'll launch around it's a not theatrical
a movie.
Release.
Yeah, it's not a
you
movie know, tie-in. We've not really seen anything about it. There's very limited previews.
But
same can be
that,
said for God of War and Days Gone.
But having said that, Sony did say they did confirm that it is a 2018 game as
well. Yeah, they did say any game coming out in
2018. And they've been very standoffish, as we talked about last week, about not wanting to give windows unless they're absolutely sure. And they did buckle down on Spider-Man and said, no, it is 2018. So.
It's true, they did. And Jess asks us the following. With games like Horizon Zero Dawn, Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, and Tomb Raider coming out or rising in popularity, do you see 2018 bringing more games that are less male-dominated and have the main protagonist to be a strong female lead where their gender doesn't act as a plot device, i.e. finding a man to be happy? Also, on the note, with there being a discussion about Dragon Ball Fighter Z, Dragon Ball Fighters, and the lack of female representation, what's your take?
On the Dragon Ball Fighters one,
there's not many strong. There's not many female characters in the anime, is there?
There's a fair
few. You could be Bulma in there. You could put Chi-Chi in there.
Yeah, Chi-Chi would be like ultimate.
Like they've all hold their own in a fight.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised they're not
one
in there.
Who was it? Alexa from What's Good Games did an article where she said maybe Dragon Ball Fighters should have more female characters, and the comments fucking roasted her.
Yeah.
You don't know fucking shit. You know, internet stuff. Yeah. You don't know. There's no characters. Fuck off. You shouldn't be doing it. Like all that kind of stuff. But yeah, there should be. There totally should be.
Totally should be.
Because it's a game. It's obviously not canonically correct because everyone's at the same power level, quote unquote, all the time. Unless you go Super Saiyan shit. But I don't see why you can't just chuck in Bulma and Chi-Chi.
Like, I'm pretty positive in Xenoverse you could just create a female character. Yeah. Positive, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I never played it.
But because, like, Xenoverse 2, you could create your own character. So, as a result, like, you could make your own.
Unless Bulma and Chi-Chi are in it and they just haven't revealed it just yet as well. That's a possibility as well. I think Gohan had a daughter.
Oh, no, he didn't have. No, he also had a girlfriend as well. It was the daughter of.
Didn't he have a girlfriend and a daughter?
May have. A daughter, I don't know. But he had his partner was the daughter of Hercule. Was it Vanessa or something?
I couldn't tell you. But what is the name of Gohan's daughter? Gohan. Apparently. I don't know. Anyway, what I mean is just chuck it. Like, it doesn't have to be canonically correct, right? You know, it's a video game. It's all for funsies. As for the other one on, you know, Aloy and Hellblade and Tomb Raider, I'm happy to see more of it because in all three of those games, the protagonist being a female had no pertaining to the story. It's just the protagonist happened to be female.
In order to get the best storytelling, they were female characters. I certainly don't feel in any of those games outside of Tomb Raider, because it's Tomb Raider, none of them were chosen as a female in order to fit a diversity quota. Yeah.
Or to sell sex appeal.
Hey, it's a strong female lead. Get excited. Like, no, the best story we could tell for Horizon Zero Dawn was with Aloy, a woman character. Because, you know, in that game, all the elders were women. Like,
all the matriarchs.
All the matriarchs, sorry. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It just worked.
It just worked. It wasn't ham-fisted in there. And that's my only... not my concern is... I'm a big fan of diversity. I think diversity is cool. Everyone gets their fair shot. Because fuck it, why not, right? But it's one of those things. Like, unless it makes it a better experience, don't jam shit in there.
No.
Like, if you, as a creator, believe that your story can best be told as your character being a white male, that's what you do. You don't make it something else. Like, or if you believe your story is best done by a transgender, homosexual character, cool.
You think you got to, mention Life is Strange as well.
Yep.
To homosexual girls, females, women. But I don't think, like, there's nothing, as far as Sony's first parties go anyway, there's nothing there that has a lead female protagonist.
Not looking to be the case.
But having said that, with Detroit, you're obviously switching between androids.
Kara,
sure there'll be an equal amount of female androids in that, which will obviously change.
Well, the main three characters for Kara look to be for Detroit need to be Kara, Connor, and whatever the name of the character is, the guy from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, Grey's Anatomy guy. And as for Days Gone, you know, we've seen footage of the bloke, Manly Man, on his bike, but we don't know yet. Obviously, God of War won't, but that's not the kind of story that it is.
Like, it may have some strong there are female characters, like, even in God of War, it's a very masculine story, but there always were female characters, like female gods, female goddesses, you know, there's quite a number of them, so.
Yeah, and the thing is as well is that not just female, but, you know, diverse characters don't have to be playable to leave an impact.
Exactly.
On the player. You think of, like, even though halfway through The Last of Us you do play as Ellie, up to that point, Ellie was the highlight of the game. You know, and she's possibly quite heavily hinted at homosexual.
Mm.
Doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't pertain to anything. You know, Ellie is such a memorable character, and you play with her for maybe 15% of the game. And that extends to even Horizon. You know, you think of memorable characters. Think of Rost, who's only around for 2 hours, but he wasn't the protagonist, but he's heavily remembered as a very good character of the game. So it's as much as I know having, you know, diverse protagonists is important, being the protagonist also doesn't make it the only worthwhile character in a game as well. And you think back to all the Final Fantasies, pretty much, if I remember right, you know, 80% of the protagonists are male, but all the most memorable characters are mostly not a white male.
Mm.
Very diverse cast as well. So, I don't know. It's, I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah, no, but I think the point you're making is we'd like to see the change, but as long as it benefits the medium. Like, if it's done, like, we've made a game full of ladies, woo! Mm. And it's like, okay. But is the game any good?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But last year was fantastic as far as, you know, having strong female characters that aren't just hammed in. They are there because it fits the story, it tells a good story, and they're not relying on tropes of being a female character.
Yeah, and that part I completely agree with. Like, I want to see stories about characters about women that, you know, want to be strong and want to be. But like, it's a tough balance because it's like when people. This is one of the biggest issues when it comes to story writing with women is a lot of people aren't quite sure how to write women a strong character without giving them masculine traits.
Mm.
I'm like, no, a woman can still be feminine and strong at the same time.
And from what we've seen from trailers so far, The Last of Us 2, you'll be playing as Ellie.
Yeah.
What we've seen so far, all the trailers hint that you are Ellie for this game, who will be a strong female character as well. So that's really cool.
Really super keen. Mm. Anyways, now you can wrap it up.
I'm so sweaty. It's very warm in here. If you enjoyed that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast things. How do you join that conversation? Simply head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Give us your thoughts, questions, and suggestions for the show. If we're between shows is a little bit too long, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, and if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon, patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show your love for the Pop Culturist to your fellow human beings, head over to thepopculturist.com/shop where you can buy yourself a lovely shirt. Can't buy yourself a nice coffee though. And as I said, if you're fully aware of the situation with YouTube and its partner program at this point, if you could do us some mighty goodness and you enjoyed what you're seeing here or enjoy what content we make, share us with your family, your friends, help get us that sub, get us over that 1,000 so we can continue to do something as simple as scheduling videos. Monetization, don't give a fuck about it. We just want to be able to do use features that should be easily obtainable, but for some reason aren't. I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players.